Hello there, boxing fans. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. We've got a variety of stories from various fights and, of course, a few quips regarding Ryan Garcia and some news in the women's boxing world. Let's have a look now at some recaps. Down in Redwood City at the Fox Theater, middleweight fighter Peter Kamakov, formerly of Russia, now fighting out of Woodland Hills, California, became the NBA Continental Champion after scoring an eight-round majority decision win over a very tough Vaughn Alexander from St. Louis, Missouri. No question, Alexander had plans of his own, taking the fight right to Kamakov, but could not, fight off the thundering blows, counter shots, which tested his will. And, obviously Kamakov is now 12-0 undefeated after winning over Alexander down in California. Great fight from California. Anyway, in other news around the world, let's have a look here. Former heavyweight title challenger Dillian, the body snatcher White, now 30-3, returned to the first time since November 2022 to stop Christian Hammer after three rounds, and that took place at the Royal Hotel in Castlebar, Ireland. Of note, sidebar, White called out Hammer and named him a coward for not returning to the fight. Also on that card, a bit of an upset, middleweight Gary O'Sullivan, now 31-6, returned for the first time since his world title defeat against Erslandy Lara back in 2022. To lose an eight-round decision to unheralded Sofiane Kati, who's now 15-4 by scores of 77-76. I'm sure he's upset. Anyway, in other fight news, we saw something we mentioned last week quite a lot. William Zepeda retaining his IBF WBA lightweight world title. It was an eliminator, undefeated. A knockout machine, WBA number one, WBC number one, WBO number three, IBF number six. He's now 30-0, 26 knockouts, quite a powerhouse. And he put a four-round beatdown against IBF number four, WBA number five, WBC number six, WBO number 14, Maximus Hughes. And that took place at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan Hotel down in Las Vegas. Zepeda's nonstop punching gradually broke down Hughes, and Hughes' corner stopped the fight after round number four. Elsewhere that we mentioned last week as well, undefeated WBA number four, lightweight Floyd Kid Austin Schofield remains undefeated, 17-0, as he won by fifth round disqualification over his opponent, Asturi El Puma Suaro. Suaro was deducted a point for fouls in rounds number two and four. Then he was disqualified in round five for a low blow, time being 2:07. By the way, Schofield suffered a cut over his right eye from a headbutt. Unbeaten middleweight Eric Priest remains unbeaten, 13-0. He hammered out a 10-round unanimous decision over Jose Sanchez, and scores are 190, 99-91, 99-91. Good for Eric Priest. Also on the bout card, Tristan Sweet T. Calcruth, a cruiserweight, is now 13-1. He scored a second-round knockout over Marquise Weston, a left-hook finish Weston, and time was 1:33, as I said, of round number two. Pro-debuting welterweight Joel Iriarte won by referee's stoppage in round number two against Brian Carguacondo. Other fights around the world taking place in Birmingham, England. WBC number 12 heavyweight juggernaut Joe Joyce, 16-2, rebounding from his two straight KO losses to Zhai Zhang, scored a 10th round knockout against Kash Ali, who's now 21-3. As I said, taking place at Resorts World Arena. Joyce, the 2016 Olympic silver medalist and former WBO interim world champion, came in at a career-high 286 pounds and stalked Ali from the get-go. Ali connected with some clean rounds early on, but Joyce mainly bludgeoned him with slow, relentless punches. Sorry, not laughing, but that's a word we don't see often. Bludgeoned him with slow, relentless punches. And the end came with just 7 seconds left in the fight when Joyce dropped Ali for the count. In other news on that particular card, WBO number 5, IBF number 11, WBA number 12, WBC rank number 15, middleweight Nathan Heaney, 18-0-1. He's got that one because he could not beat Brad Pauls, and they battled to a hard-fought 12-round draw. Yet, Heaney retained his British title. Undefeated, WBC number 5, IBF number 8, WBA number 14, super bantamweight Liam Davies, 16-0. Scored a spectacular second-round knockout against IBF number 12, Eric Ayala. An uppercut followed by a left hook dropped by Ayala. He beat the count, but Davies immediately floored him again to end it at 1 minute 17 seconds. On that card, super middleweight contender Zach Parker, 24-1, scored a 10-round unanimous decision over former WBA world champion Tyrone Zug. He's now 27-2-1. Zug dropped Parker in round number 2 in press action, but judges preferred boxing. Parker's boxing and movement scores were 96-94, 97-92, and 98-91. WBO number 11, unbeaten super featherweight Dennis the Menace McCann. He's now 15-0-1, won a 12-round unanimous decision over Brad Strand, who's also 11-1. McCann dropped Strand in round number 2 en route to 116, 111, 116, 112, and 118, 111 scorecards from the judges. In an upset, WBO number 12, welterweight Ethan James, 12-1, was stopped by Owen Cooper, who's now 10-0. Undefeated, Cooper dropped James in round number 1 with a left hook and got the win when James' corner pulled the man out of the round after round number 9. Cooper claimed the WBO European and English titles in the process. Unbeaten junior welterweight Pierce O'Leary, 14-0, stopped Hovhannes Matryosyan, 16-1. In round number 9 to retain his WBC international title. It's good to see that boxing is returning to the Turfontein Racecourse in South Africa. I believe it's in South Africa. Let's have a look. In one of the leanest periods in South African boxing in recent years, fight fans are pleased to hear that two South African-based Congolese fighters, Jason Medi, 6-1, and Jimmy the Beast Majundi, 10-7, will meet for the vacant World Boxing Federation All Africa Light Heavyweight title at the Turfontein Racecourse in Johannesburg. So yes, South Africa, that'll take place upcoming very shortly, Wednesday, March 27th. Mississippi heavyweight Tavoris Bear Barnes, 5-0, showed an impressive skill with a second round stoppage of debuting Duke Sensley in front of a packed crowd at the Mel Ott Center in Los Angeles. Barnes, who outweighed his opponent by 30 pounds, landed solid shots while avoiding a wild attack from Sensley in the opening round. Sensley was ruled down in round number 1, but only due to his gloves touching the mat. He didn't look seriously hurt. The final round saw a controlling and disciplined performance from Barnes, who ended the night with a flurry of punches after hurting his opponent with a right uppercut. A right uppercut also forced the bout to be stopped by referee Keith Hughes at 1 minute 40 seconds of round number 2. Trainer Chase Dixon said in the post-fight interview, "Everyone is calling to get Bear into camp, but we plan to ease him," that's Barnes that is, "back in and keep him busy." Barnes is coming off a 2-year-plus layoff. Wow. Good for him. All right. Let's move along to good old Ryan Garcia. Still making the headlines prior to his upcoming fight against Devin Haney. Let's have a look here. Boxer Ryan Garcia, according to ESPN, said Friday that the New York State Athletic Commission wants him to undergo a mental health evaluation ahead of his April 20th WBC junior welterweight title fight against Devin Haney in Brooklyn. The since-deleted video post to social media, Garcia, who's 25-1, by the way, said the commission informed him the evaluation request surrounded his posts on social media. So said Garcia, "Is it not my U.S. constitutional right to have free speech? So, because I'm tweeting what I'm tweeting, that's premises for mental evaluation? That's curious," he asked. Garcia has made a litany of eyebrow-raising social media posts over the past few weeks, ranging from conspiracy theories to claims he has evidence of the existence of extraterrestrials. Matthew Dellaglio, director of boxing for the commission, declined to comment. Golden Boy promotion spokesman Stefan Friedman said, as in the case with all Golden Boy fights, we're in close contact with the commission and sanctioning bodies and will, of course, follow any and all rules and regulations to ensure our fighters are ready on fight night. Someone else weighed in on that one, Shakur Stevenson. Shakur Stevenson has once again offered his services to replace Ryan Garcia as the opponent for WBC light welterweight champ Devin Haney on April 20th. Devin's dad, Bill Haney, rejected the possibility of a fight with Shakur, who's 21-0, by the way, saying he brings nothing to the table. Shakur reacted to that comment by saying, "I smell fear." Okay. Haney, by the way, he's 31-0, 15 knockouts, posted a remark in response, taking issue with Shakur, continually calling him out, even though he's now fighting at 140, not 135, and telling him he needs to focus on fighters in the lightweight division. Of course, that's a little hypocritical on Haney's part, as he and his dad, Bill, have been calling out lightweight Gervonta Davis nonstop, despite the two not sharing the same weight class either. Let's take a look at what's happening with our good friend Miyamoto down in New Zealand. According to Sue Fox over at whimsboxing.com, IBO World Super Bantamweight Champ Miyamoto will take on Thailand's Napa Ket Siraswas at the ABA Stadium in New Zealand on April 26. Now, interestingly, as a sidebar in this particular story, Peach Boxing's stable has unfortunately been forced to end their working relationship with Dean Lonergan at DNL events after Lonergan lost his financial backers. Due to this, Peach Boxers are now signed with No Limit Boxing under Matt and George Rose. The good news is great things are coming. However, it means we'll be seeing less of these boxers fighting in New Zealand. Motu is seeking to unify her world title, hopefully in July, as she begins to venture for mega fights in Australia and the UK. But the downside to greatness is that her next fight could be her last fight in New Zealand. And what better place, though, to have that fight where it will be where it all started for her at the historical ABA Stadium. Motu has had a successful 2023, by the way, by winning and successfully defending the IBO world title, overcoming the odds of broken ribs, dislocated shoulder, and asthma. But the year ended perfectly with a sold-out show in Whangarei. Motu will be taking on Thailand 20-year-old boxer Siraswas. Siraswas has an impressive record, 7-1, by the way, with the only loss coming to Australian boxer Enja Ryan last July. She has an amateur boxing background, with the highlight of her amateur career being reaching the quarterfinals of the Youth Men's and Women's World Boxing Championships in 2021. And this fight will be a non-title fight, however. This is to keep Motu prepared for the future mega fights in the UK. The undercard of this fight will showcase Isaac and Alina Peach, up-and-coming boxers, including Sonny Marini, Aaron Walsh, Emma Nesbitt, Dylan Archer, and Oliver Firth. Let's have a quick look at Aaron Walsh. Has had a very impressive amateur boxing career as well, becoming a three-time New Zealand national amateur champ, 2023 Bobby Johnson Cup winner, competing at the 2022 Commonwealth Games, multi-time North Island Golden Glove Championship, and 2023 Pacific Games silver medalist. Walsh made her professional boxing debut in November 2023, maintaining an undefeated record in her professional boxing career. Emma Nesbitt and Dylan Archer are two big up-and-comers in Peach Boxing Gym. Nesbitt has won the last two of her three-fight boxing career, and her two wins being with international opponents. Archer is currently ranked number one in the super welterweight division in New Zealand, and he's been fighting difficult opponents recently in Fiji, with the last fight winning by third-round stoppage over Jose Ravudi. Miyamoto, her possible last fight in New Zealand against Thailand's Siraswas will happen at the ABA Stadium April 26, event live on CSN. a live local fight street, leading local fight live stream in New Zealand. Okay, anyway, CSN. There you go. Sorry about the kerfuffle at the end there. Let's talk about Melissa Smith, great writer, someone who's been featured on Talk and Fight and interviewed on Talk and Fight. She has a new book out called The Promise of Women's Boxing, and we have a book launch party announcement. If you're in the New York area, you might want to pop along to Gleason's Gym, June 15th. The book is about a timely exploration of modern women's boxing from its first inclusion in the 2012 Olympics to today, featuring such trailblazers as Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano, Clarissa Shields, and more. On April 30th, 2022, the first boxing superfight of this era, headlined by two women, fought at Madison Square Garden, lived up to its hype, and then some. The two contestants fought the battle of their lives in front of a sold-out crowd and garnered 1.5 million views through online streaming. It was the culmination of a long three centuries arc of women's boxing history, a history fraught with highs and lows, but always imbued with the heart and passion of the women who fought. In The Promise of Women's Boxing, a momentous new era for the sweet science, Melissa Smith details the exciting period from the 2012 Olympics through to the true million-dollar baby women's super fights of 2022 and beyond. Rich in content, the stories that emerge focus on boxing stars, new and old, important battles, and the challenges women still face in boxing. Smith examines the development of the sport on a global basis, the transition of amateur boxers to the pros, the impact of online streamlining of the sport, the challenging boxing has faced from MMA, and the unprecedented gains women's boxing has made in the era of the super fight with extraordinary seven-figure opportunities for elite female stars. Featuring the stories of women's boxing icons, Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano, Savannah Marshall, and more, with a foreword by two-time Olympic gold medalist and three-time undisputed champion Clarissa Shields, The Promise of Women's Boxing offers unprecedented insight into the incredible growth of the sport and the women who have fought in and out of the ring to make it all possible. Now, speaking of in and out of the ring, we have a couple of quick little tidbits here. Nick Francis Ngannou has revealed he's still having medical tests a week after his brutal knockout loss to Anthony Joshua. As we all know, AJ finished the ex-UFC champion in two rounds, following three knockdowns and one rather ruthless right hand to finish it. Ngannou was left needing oxygen following the finishing shot, but spoke out on Instagram Live to give fans a bit of an update. He said, "I was conscious right after the knockout, and since then everything's been good. I'm still going to run some medical work just in case." And as we all know, he had dropped Tyson Fury a while back on his boxing debut, only to lose a controversial split decision back in October. But Joshua, shall we say, helped restore order in the ring just 5 months later with his emphatic finish. And to conclude today's show, let's give a shout out to boxing legend Roberto Duran, who was in hospital recently for a heart issue, which was complicated due to atrial ventricular blockade. And he has gotten a pacemaker that should help him continue on. I believe he's in his 70s. So let's see that Roberto Duran wins that battle and continues on with his, we see him in the news quite often making comments. So let's hope that he continues in the fight world, and good luck to him. Right on. Thanks very much for joining me here on Talk and Fight. Appreciate it. Hope you're liking the new screen I got going here. Like, share, and subscribe me. Appreciate it very much. And we'll see you again at 11 a.m. here on Talk and Fight for more news from around the world.